Okay, we're starting. Okay, thank you for attending. My name is Menachem Liebtag, and we're supposed to introduce ourselves in the beginning and say thank you for attending. Okay, and there's a coffee break at 11:30. So I decided for this session to talk about a teaching approach or teaching style called using engaging questions to motivate critical reading. So I'm going to pick a topic we're all familiar with. We'll give an example of questions to ask. Because as a rule of thumb, kids love to learn. They hate being told what to do. As a rule of thumb. The second the teacher assumes kids don't want to learn, you should get a different job. Kids love learning, but they have to feel like they're doing it. That is, you have to get them engaged. So I'm going to give an example of how to get a student engaged to understand something. So I want to pick a famous story. I'll begin with a sort of question. Did Moshe Rabbeinu ever sin? Really? Is that Lashon Hara? No. And so what was his famous sin? Yes, eh?
He got angry. He hit the rock.
Okay, he hit the rock instead of talking to it. But we all learned that. What was his punishment? Can't go to Eretz Yisrael. And then, what's everyone's gut reaction when they hear that? Yeah, it's not fair. Okay? And what did the rabbis tell you? And why is it fair? You know, it's not fair. He's on the higher level. That's I call that party line. We're all familiar with that. Okay. Now I'm going to play a game called Etz Sketch. You know what that means? Etz Sketch means forget everything you learned before. And I want to show you, I'll quote Rob Breuer, who had a great line. He says, he learns Chumash without, he learns Chumash just like Rashi. Right? Because Rashi learned Chumash without Rashi. Because he studied Chumash, and then something was bothering Rashi, and then Rashi is sharing with you his comment. What I'm getting at is that if you don't study the text the way the Parshanim studied the text, if you're not engaged in the text, you won't appreciate their commentary. Otherwise, it's just memorizing opinions. So open up, we'll go to the crime scene. Go to Parshat Chukat, Perak Chaf, I think, Pasuk Zayin. If you have a Chumash, there's lots of Chumashim around. Anyone else need? Everyone have here? That's another one. We just need for a minute. I have a store sheet later on. But I want to give you an assignment, which, as I call it, is an assignment that sparks sort of critical, not just critical thinking, but also Perachah, Sefer Bamidbar, Perachah Pasuk Zayin. Should be a new Parshia. The first line is very famous.
367.
Oh, they finally put page numbers on the Tanakh. That's good. Yeah. Okay. The first Koran only had numbers in Hebrew letters in Gematria. Okay. Everyone have it? Now, take a look. The Pasuk Zayin is easy. It's God talking to Moshe Rabbeinu. Now, find me where does God tell Moshe to hit the rock? I mean, to talk to the rock? Actually, Aaron and Moshe. Okay, so it's in Pasuk Chet. Now, here's my assignment. Look at Pasuk Chet. Got it? Pasuk Chet is the commandment of God to Moshe Rabbeinu. In other words, I need to put a quotation mark in the beginning of Pasuk Chet and at the end of Pasuk Chet. With me? God tells Moshe saying, Pasuk Chet is God talking. Now, I want everyone to count how many commandments is Moshe given in Pasuk Chet. I'll make sure you understand my question. Just count. Just count up carefully. How many commandments? I said, don't say that. No, listen. Let me give you. Listen. Every class has a student like Menachem here, right? I call it with a hand stop. Half of teaching is learning how to control students like that, okay? So you tell me it's called Lishmor Babetin. Okay? Wait, 1 second now. Listen, this is a teaching method because everyone's stuck with a class that there's always kids who know too much, right? So ask a question and tell them as follows. I'll give you a little methodology. Ask a question. When you have an answer, raise your hand. Okay?
That's great.
So I want you to count up. All I want is a number. Okay? How many commands is Moshe given? And just double check your number. Okay? And when you have a number, raise your hand. Now, you understand my assignment. I'm just going to broadcast this year. Now everyone in class is engaged because everyone's counting. Because if one kid answers right away, kids will be betrayed. I'll just wait to hear the answer from somebody else. Okay. Now, if you see someone who doesn't have the hand up, you stare them down. Or, you know, that's already teaching tricks. Okay, now. Everyone have a number? Number, okay? That's your nominees. Nominated number?
I said 8.
8, okay. I heard 8, okay. Any other numbers?
I would say 5.
5?
I got 6 or 7.
6 or 7. Pick one or the other. You nominate, only one nominee.
7,
okay. That's a good number. Any other numbers?
Say
5. 5. 4. 4, okay. So I got 4, and you got 5. Okay. So this one, okay. 9?
6.
Oh, 6, okay. Wait, how many people said 4?
I said 4 at first.
Okay, 4, okay. You have 2 hands. How many people voted 5? Okay, a little over 5. 6? Okay. 7? Okay, now we have what to talk about. Any 8s? We had an 8 also. Whoa! How could that be? And don't feel bad. Every time I ask the question, I get a whole bunch of numbers. I even heard 3 sometimes, but actually 8, I've never heard 8 before. Number. So let's take, it's imperative you follow what we're going to do now. Right. You got my joke. Now, what's the first command? Kachetamate. Right? That's the command. Right. And what's the next command? No, if you
can,
because I asked you, because I'm a lawyer now. I asked you, how many commandments has Moshe given?
Oh, alone.
Moshe is supposed to gather the people with his brother.
Right, but that's 2. He's gathering, and he's got to go get his brother. You do it with him.
But that's how to get the thing. He also has to breathe while he's doing that.
Right.
But he's not commanded to breathe, but he has to breathe. He says, your job is to gather the nation together with your brother. It's a command.
So that's
okay. The number is not important. I'm just trying to get. What he's commanded to do, okay? So assuming it's 1 command, okay? So that's 2 now so far. Take your mateh, okay? He's done that. And gather the nation together with your brother. Command number 3 is what? Okay, I want the whole command. Speak to the rock in front of the people. Did anyone count the Nesamei Mav as a command?
I did.
Someone did. Okay, yeah. Half the class always does. Right? Half the class always counts for the Samay Mav as a command. Why? Because you're counting verbs instead of tzivui. Now, that I know it's going to happen. It's a great opportunity to teach critical read. You follow? Because when Samay Mav is the result, right? That's not something Moshe needs to do. You're supposed to hit the rock. You're supposed to talk to the rock, and the rock will give water. Right? That's just you and your brother. Talk to the rock, and it'll give water. Okay? What's the next command?
Yeah.
Take water out of the rock, okay? And then give them to drink, okay? Yeah, 5 is pretty good. Now, here's fun part number 2. Put yourself in Moshe's sandals, okay? Stop them. I'm just joking. I just designed for the snare. You can't say that. Put yourself in Moshe's position. If you were given these 5 commands, what would you do? Okay? If God told you, Kach etamateh, what would you do? Has he ever done that before? Piece of cake, okay. Gather the nation together with your brother? What would he do? He's ever done that before? Okay. Then he says, speak to the rock, and it will give water. What should he do? What should he say?
To speak in Yiddish and in Arabic, I think he should say this.
Nice.
That's a teacher's okay.
You know Abracadabra is Aramaic from creation. Okay. It's a magic trick. Now, it's unclear. We don't know what he's supposed to say. God didn't tell him what to say. Has he ever done this before?
No. Yes.
He's ever talked to rock before. I mean, he's taken water out of rock before. He did that in last week's Parsha. In Parsha in Rafidim, he did that in Bashalach. That was pretty impressive. It was that Har Sinai effect. So that's something. So, but this time, we don't know what he's supposed to say. Okay? But he should say something. You know what would happen? Water will come out of the rock. Okay? How about the next command? take water out of the rock.
You can read it, can
wait, wait, wait a second. Wait, listen carefully. I'll answer in a minute. You understand? The next command is, take water out of the rock. Now, what do you do? Who didn't count this as a command? I'm sure there was someone who didn't count this as a command.
I put it together as
vision. You put it together with three. With,
no, with you put it with number five.
With Hishka. Now, what, why, what caused you to do that? Explain to the class why you had to move it together with five.
Because the nasanis meimav is water pouring out and transferring it to the nation.
You follow?
One
step. Someone in class will always come up with that. You save the day for me. Yep. There's a problem with command number four. Why? Because if water's coming out of the rock already, when he talks to it, what's? How do you take water out of a rock? It's coming out already, if you believe in gravity.
Could be.
I can have gravity without a miracle. What?
It could still be two separate things.
It could be.
It could be a talupat, or it could be a...
Okay, but that's an answer already. But the question is... Yeah. It's a good question, with a possible answer. You follow? It's not like... It's a... Everyone got the question? Command number four, what should he do? Okay, now. Command number five? I mean, just, I don't think he has to pour everyone, but organize, make sure everyone drinks, okay? Everyone gets a lachan. Now. Make sense? Now. Now. Let's see. Yeah, let's see what he does. You follow? Now I can give you a sheet. Now it's here. Pass the page around. You see why I didn't give the page in the beginning. Yeah, take this one. Yeah. Just make it easier to go through. Well, I'm trying to give you an example. I hope you follow what we're doing so far. I'm giving an example of asking in question, the engaging questions, and then it's how to spark a conversation within the classroom. Because it's not a complete lesson plan, it's a derech, but what happens in class depends on the kids' answers. Okay, count how many commands. Oh yeah, we just did this. Now you see why I didn't give you that before. Okay, now, what we're going to do now, we counted the five, we found the five commandments. Got it? Now, let's see what Moshe does and match them up one at a time. Okay, we're going to be your teachers, okay? Let's grade Moshe. We know it's five commands. Let's give him a grade. Command number one was what? What did he do? Kasher Tivo. How many points? 20. Number five for 20 points. Okay. Commandment number two was what? Okay. Now in class, I would have everyone match them up. We don't have time for that, so we'll do it together. Hakelet Ataron Echicha. What does he do? 20 points?
Yeah.
Okay. You doing so far so good? Okay. Command number three, speak to the rock in front of the people and we'll give water. And what's Moshe do? He speaks to the people instead of the rock. What? He talks to people? Now, if you're a teacher, sometimes talking to people is like talking to a rock. Especially if you're a shul rabbi. No. But what does he do? He speaks to the people and calls them teachers. What? A chutzpah? No, not teacher. What are they? Oh, Morim doesn't mean teachers here.
According to the
Thurpshat
and Rashi, it does mean teachers.
Really? Morim?
Morim es Moreim. You teach your teachers.
Okay, but that's a drop. But Morim means you rebellious people.
Rashi brings Thurpshat.
Okay. But that's when, I mean, I'll explain on Rashi, that Rashi is always bothered by Pshat. The answers he gives are often a wide range. Understand?
Sometimes Rashi translates a word. Often
yeah.
Rashi translates a word. You might not know what the word is.
Yeah, but if he's bringing three possibilities, that means he's bothered by a problem in Pshat. And then he gives three different options.
It appears very few times in Tanakh, period.
But more, we'll see an example of another one.
It's hard to grab from context.
Yeah, perfect. Okay, so let's take a look at this. Shimuna Morim. Listen up, all you Morim for now, okay? Hamina said, let's say, Mitzil Chamayim. Is he asking a question? What?
It's a rhetorical question.
It's rhetorical, meaning what?
He's not expecting an answer, but it's a question.
There's a guess if there's more than one answer.
Yeah. But he's asking, do you think I can pull a rabbit out of my hat? He didn't say, but how come I said that? It goes with Akra Kadabra. Does a magician ever say, before he does a magic trick, do you think I can do this magic trick?
Yes.
No. Does that make the magic trick better or worse?
Better.
Why does it make it better? It builds up expectation, right? Okay. So he's saying, for some reason, Moshe, maybe on his own, decided to do what? to challenge the people, maybe, but now, how would you grade that? What?
He definitely didn't do it.
He did. God told him to talk to the rabbi.
He did the Amirah, but just the wrong person.
Yeah. He talked to people instead of a rabbi. Okay.
But the note C.
What?
The note C, we will bring.
Who's we?
Is it Moshe and Aaron, or is it us and Hashem?
No, it's I think he means he and Aaron. Because God told him, Dibartan, God said to both of them should speak. So he's speaking on behalf of Aaron. I think Notzi means I think he's referring to Aaron.
But isn't that part of the problem? That he's saying
yeah, for sure,
yeah. The water from the rock, not Hashem.
Okay. So any points for three?
No.
Okay. We're at 40. Okay, now. Okay.
Wait.
How about four? What's command number four? Take water out of the rock, and what does he do? It worked. As God said, Motzimaim, and he did it. Now, why would he think to use his mate to take water out of the rock? Did God tell him to take a mate?
Last time.
Yes.
Oh, yeah, I forget that. And he did it before.
He told him to take it twice.
What?
It should have been like a warning.
Oh, okay. What do you mean? Means it was okay to take it out this way, but he did it the wrong way.
But he did it the wrong way.
Then
he had to do it twice. It says that he had to hit the back twice.
Didn't say he had to, but it's what he did.
Right, that he did hit the back twice.
He did hit it twice. Maybe that's a problem.
Right.
Okay. And then, how about command number five?
Yeah, he did it.
Okay. So three and four are a bit problematic, right? Now I want to call, you can be, you ever have a student, like a straight A student, and he got an 80 on their test, right? And they're starting to cry, and they look at tests and say, "That's wrong. This is the right answer." And they come up, you know what I'm saying? And who's to blame for the 80? The teacher, because I understood your question this way. You've all been through that, right? Okay, it's called privileged children. Now, you know what I'm saying? The way I understood your question, I did the right thing. So you get a 0, I get 100. Understand? No. You with me? So we can play both games. We just did the harsh way. Let's assume that Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu, and he doesn't do things by mazid. No, he doesn't. He's not a teenager. Okay, he doesn't do things just stavka. You know, God said, "Do that. I'm going to do it differently." You're friendly with kids like that? Let's put up with them all day long. No. So let's try to give him what's called the benefit of the doubt, and try to understand what he did. So 1 and 2 are fine, right? How did Moshe, assuming Moshe thought he was doing the right thing at least, how did Moshe, based on what Moshe does, how did he understand the command? How did he understand the command, speak to the rock in front of the people, give water? And what did he do? He spoke to the people
about the rock,
giving water. Right? So, what do I need to change in the command to make the command fit the execution?
Yeah.
It just means Elazal. And probably you saw Ramban. That's Ramban's Pirush. Ramban says, he brings several examples where El can mean Al. Because
right.
When I talk to, if I'm talking about this bottle, right? I can look at the bottle and talk about the bottle. But I'm talking to the bottle, about the bottle in front of people. So I'm talking to an object that doesn't hear, in front of people who do hear. So I talk to an object that means about the object. Okay?
All over Chumash, you have examples where El means
Yeah, a lot of them.
Yeah.
Yeah. Right. That's right. They have commandment by Tzavim. That's a good machlok of Parshim. But is it one command to paro about Bnei Yisrael or commandment to Bnei Yisrael and to paro? But the other one was and God tells Moshe, "Okay, go to paro. If you have Tzavet paro the El." The El Bnei Yisrael, and there's about Paro about them or two commands. Okay, but it comes up a lot.
It's like he's interpreting it the way he wants to hear it, because it's easier for him to admonish the people than to follow the exact words that Hashem said. Because
he's doing because it's easier. Because does he think he's doing the right thing?
Yeah, he thinks he's doing the right thing. But I'm saying he thinks he's doing the right thing, but that's his.
You're saying someone could think you're doing the right thing and do something wrong?
Right, psychologically,
you're ready for parenthood. it's called life. Yeah.
He's under a lot of pressure.
What?
Moshe was underneath a
His sister just died? We'll get that in a minute. But, yeah?
I mean, the Shimon and the Marine part is really the problem because that doesn't have to do with the rabbi at all. So if he understood Hashem's command to, like, speak to the people about the rock,
yeah,
I could see the, like, Hamin HaSala HaZenotzi Mai part.
Yeah.
But what about the Shimon and the Marine part? That has nothing to do with the rock.
Yeah. Maimonides would love what you just said.
What?
Maimonides?
Oh.
Rambam? That's exactly the Rambam. That's the Rambam explanation for it. But Ramban wouldn't like it. Because he quotes Maimonides and rips him apart. Not rips him apart. He respectfully argues. And rips him apart. He says, what do you mean? The leaders have to, you have to admonish people. Oh, it's a great machloket. Now, let's go back again for a minute. So, how did Moshe understand the command? The what? Not to talk to the rock, but about the rock giving water, because he understood biblical Hebrew. That didn't misunderstand. He said that's how he understood the command. Talk about the rock giving water. And what's the logic of doing that? Because, now, if command number three, I should get a smile to you in a minute, you'll see what. Okay? If command number three is not to speak to the rock, but about the rock giving water, okay, then what's command number four?
Hit the rock.
Do something else.
The rock.
To get the water.
Which makes perfect sense now. In other words, one of the reasons possibly Moshe understood three the way he did is because of four. Because it was a command. And God told him to take his staff, right? So now, once Moshe did the right thing in three, got it?
Right.
Then four is also good.
Right. What? But what's then Vinatam Meimav? Meaning, why if it's Vinatam Meimav, why do you then need Vinatam Meimav?
No, he's saying, speak to the people about the rock possibly giving water.
Got it.
Yeah. It's not a vav achibur, it's a vav pirush, what's called. Vav, it's a whole thing. The vav can mean, you can pick and choose what you want vav to mean. Yeah.
Well, it makes more sense going off of what Sima's point was about the Rambam, was that if Moshe had interpreted speaking about the rock, then the idea of speaking about the rock in front of Israel is in the way of a magician would say, it makes sense when you look at the punishment of Yan Lo Haimatza Bilakti Shini, of like the purpose of speaking about the rock would be to like glorify Hashem and look that we're bringing Hashem is bringing water out of this rock. So then it would make more sense that like if that was the purpose of speaking about the rock, then Moshe didn't get credit for that one.
Yeah.
Because
we're going to get to the punishment in a minute. When I want to go and analyze what he was doing, we have to judge by the punishment. But let's just, I'm the student, my teacher wants to deserve 100. I want to give Moshe 100. Why? If he understood God's command, speak about the rock giving water, then why would he question about that? Because that's how you make a magic trick better. In other words, do you think we can get water out of the rock? He's not doubting God, rather. He's what he called. He's getting expectations ready. Hey, we're going to do something miraculous to impress them. And then we'll take water out of the rock, which is also a miracle. It worked last time as a miracle, back in Rafidim. And then if three is right and four is right, then what might be the problem with four? Someone mentioned? Let's say he's supposed to hit the rock and take water out of the rock. What could be wrong with four if he was supposed to hit the rock? The Pamai. That's Ebenezer. Got it. So also I'm showing there's all classic parshanim here. Okay. Every when it will come up in class, embedded when you have this conversation, you'll get Rambam, Ibn Ezra, Rashi. They all make sense.
It's a very non-typical language for Moshe to say Amina Sela Zen. It's not the first nes that he's performing, and he's not hoping to set up, and it's coming right after Shimon HaMoir, which means it's clearly. A missing link.
So yeah.
She has a different
right? In education, we call it burnout, right? Mm-hmm. We don't have patience anymore. That's a lot of pressure go in that direction.
Were our students say that?
What?
What?
I mean, that this is a strange language from Moshe Rabbeinu to
you. What?
I'm not sure our students will.
Yes, you have to go through every time Moshe talks, every time he gives a review.
Yeah, I don't think they're ready.
Yeah. If you follow when Ramban argues with Rambam, Rambam says he got angry. In Shmona Parkim, I said, Rambam is not giving his answer here in part of a commentary on Chumash. He's giving a commentary on life about the Kol Tishvei Zahav. Remember, you don't live to spend money, you don't live to save money. You always have to think. So he says, anger, He's livid against people getting angry. No, but he says, but anger is always an extreme. There's no middle path for anger. And he says, Moshe Rabbeinu, the only thing he did wrong, he got angry one time, and look at the punishment he got. Okay, but he's using this example to talk about how bad anger is, not to explain Chumash. Yeah, right. Yeah. Which is an educator. He's an educator. I don't know.
He's also echoing some of the language of the rebels throughout the Midbar of the Hei HaSheila, like whether or not enough graves for us in Egypt, and mm-hmm. Korach, like, do you not have enough power for yourselves?
Like Master Meriva?
You're saying Moshe's echoing?
With the Hamin himself.
Orim, yeah. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. So it's starting from the place.
Yes, Shimuna. Okay, we'll get to Mary in a minute. Okay, so now you understand all the possibilities. So now in that critical read, that gives us the ability to do what? To appreciate the parshanim. Now, if you do this in class and people come up with like different answers, then take a break. Give them the parshan to read. You follow? And don't call it Ebenezer's. You call it this was Judy's. You follow? Then I'm giving an example of how to make a class engaging. With the discussion. Not everything works so well, but this is a classic example. Now we'll do what your name was? Your name?
Lizzie.
Right. What Lizzie was saying is, let's look at the punishment and work backwards. Because if we know what his punishment was, we'll find out. Now, when I asked you in the beginning, what was his punishment? I heard a choir. His punishment was, he can't go to Eretz Yisrael. Which for some people, that's, don't consider that a punishment. Now, so let's see what it says here. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, El Aaron. What did Aaron do wrong? Okay. Yando himantem bi, lakdishen le Bnei Yisrael. What didn't you do?
Believe in me.
But Moshe didn't believe. Moshe don't believe in God? They said Shema every day.
But it's
Hetanim, it's not. That was a joke. What? What do you mean they didn't believe? Of course they believed in God. Now that brings up big what the word emunah means. That's a whole discussion. We'll get to a minute. But let's see. Go on. You didn't have emunah in me, whatever that means in the meantime. Lakdisheni, in the eyes of the people. Therefore, what's your punishment? Now, you can't go into Israel, but what?
You can't
lead them into Israel. Similar to view, you and Aaron have lost your national leadership. As far as going to Israel.
Give a homage that doesn't have any mafarshim.
What? Yeah, that's right. No, that's why. That's what the parshanim did. Right. Understand
it's
what?
Not the only time the punishment is referenced in Chumash.
Oh yeah, there's four more times, and every time it's a little bit different.
Right.
Yeah.
And then it will say like you can't. You know,
yeah. That's Rashi's Pirush is based on one of those things where it sounds like because you hit the rock instead of it, but you can read it. Yeah, it's clutchable. Let's go. Mm-hmm. Get to it. But it understands why there's so many different opinions in the parshanim.
Right.
Now. But there must be something here that's to do with leadership. There's got to be a leadership issue, and then because you and Aaron now can't bring them in, okay? And then we have a summary. Hema min rivash rabu ben Yisrael Hashem by Kadesh Bam. We'll talk about it in a minute. But the end result was when it was over, the people still have an attitude problem, right? They're still the class is still angry. There's still tension in the camp. Now, if I go back to all the different answers you gave, right? There's what's called a chiluk called siman siba. You know what that means? That there's a reason, and there's an indicator. Like when someone's ill, high fever is a siman. The infection is the siba. Got that? That's classic. It's like brisk 101. In chilukim. Now. Getting angry, calling them rebels, miswording, saying, do you think, like doubting God, sounding like doubting God, hitting it twice, right? Those might be indicators that what? Burnout. Got it? All those things might indicate that from a leadership point of view, it's time to retire.
I thought this was going to be about engaging questions, not staying enthusiastic after decades of teaching.
Okay. No, it's very enthusiastic when you know that other people suffer from the same problems. Okay. So that's one possibility. It could be there's a leadership issue. Now, what I want to do now is, first of all, talk about the word emunah. Because emunah, believe me, doesn't always mean to believe. And the best example was from 2 weeks ago. Moshe is holding up what in his hand when they're fighting Amalek?
His hand.
No, he's holding Mateh Elohim. He has a Mateh Elohim biyado, and it's so heavy, he needs a right-hand man and a left-hand man. Right? But his hands need to be supported, and therefore, what are we told? I have the thing there.
Yeah, Moshe,
emunah. Doesn't mean his hands didn't have belief. It means they were supported. Some people in shul, when a rabbi asks, when the chazan makes a statement like that God protects Am Yisrael or something like that, people answer,
amen.
"I agree."
Amen. Yes.
Yeah. Amen. Amen means I agree. Like amen. Like amen means to agree or support. I support that. What? I'm not a sword, yeah.
Like, yes.
I support, now.
We agree.
Yeah. Now, therefore, when someone says something, how supportive of you are you, let's say someone talks about the school. Do you support the school? Do you support your job? Do you support what you're doing? Do you support Emunah? Women's, they still have a Women's Women organization? They still have, isn't Emunah an organization somewhere?
Mm-hmm.
Yes. There's Emunah. Right? So, do you support Emunah?
Mm-hmm.
I don't know. Now, the best example in a month from now is Migat Esther. Vayi omenet Hadassah.
Right.
What? He didn't believe in Hadassah. He may have supported Hadassah. But he supported Hadassah. So many times in Chumash, Amen means now. I want to talk about the idea of being supportive of God. And to do that, I have to tell you what we just did wrong. We started the story from Pasuk Zayin instead of from Pasuk Aleph. So let's go back to the story in Pasuk Aleph. Oh my gosh, I have an addition on top of this. Okay, go back to your Chumash. And look how the story begins. Perek Chaf in Parsha Chukat. Have it? Okay. In Pasuk Chaf. Now it's this idea of learning something in context. In Pasuk Chaf, what happens? Am Yisrael arrives in Kadesh. Okay? Been a long time. Now, we're told in the first month, we're not told the year. That's too complicated for now what year it was. But we'll assume like Chazal was the 40th year, but that's not critical for this year. Okay? There's no water. And what do the people do? Because there's no water.
Right.
Even when there is water, people complain. Right? It happened in Skokie. Okay? I got all the intel, right? People complain. But Baruch Hashem targets bottles of water. No. So there, people complain, don't they?
Target government complex.
Okay. now, what happens next? The people complain to Moshe. What's Moshe do? Wait a second. Let's read the complaint. What's the first complaint? What, read, want to read? Read from Pasuk Bet. Vayelan, read Pasuk Bet. I love it. Yeah. Keep going.
So they gathered up against.
Against them, okay. Moshe and Aaron. Cool, okay.
Keep going.
Yeah. This is teenagers. You know what? We should have died in front. Wait, who died in front of God? Who most recently in Chumash died in front of God? The 250. Remember the Brachtoret? They wanted to bring what they wanted. They wanted to bring Korban, and in front of, like. But how did they die?
The fire came.
How long did it take? Were they expecting to die?
Maybe.
I don't think so.
Maybe.
They wanted to bring a korban. They weren't told they're going to die if you lose.
Depends how you read it, right?
Okay, but I'm saying, but either way, it was a very quick death. Now, if there's no water, right, what's going to happen? And how long will it take?
A while.
So what are the people saying? You know, Moses, had we rebelled against you, right, we would have been better off. We supported you with Korach, and now we're going to die. Notice, at least they got to die a quick death. It's such a whoa. They know how to complain. Got it? Right? You see the attitude problem? Again, you guys are teachers, you know, teenagers. Okay? Now, to add fuel to the fire, but Lama, what's he say? Why'd you take us out of Egypt to bring this lousy place? It's Makomarim Velechem. They're complaining about Moshe's leader and Aaron's leadership, aren't they? Yeah. Why'd you bring us last? Why'd you take us out of Egypt? Got it? It's an old complaint.
It was kind of their fault. They could have gone into Eretz Yisrael at the beginning of Sefer
fire, but then they had the whole Peyton Radwin, so it's their own punishment, their own reason.
Yeah, but it's a question if they're going to buy that. So maybe you can be Moshe's lawyer. But the people...
No, I'm saying they're coming and they're complaining.
Okay,
they're,
yeah, but I'm saying... I'm saying, yeah, but you hear, but they're complaining, okay? They might be wrong complaining, but that's why teenagers...
When did that ever stop someone?
Yeah, mm-hmm. People always complain. Now, listen, the people have an attitude problem, agreed? Okay, now, listen to what Moshe and Aaron tell back to them. Listen, fine for me, but what does Moshe and Aaron tell them to do?
They don't.
What? They complain to Moshe Aaron. What does Moshe Aaron respond to them? They don't. What? They don't answer? What do they do instead? They run away from the people, and they go to the principal's office.
And they also model the correct address.
What?
If you have a complaint, you can complain too. Meaning, instead of complaining to us, Moshe and Aaron are doing what Bnei Yisrael should have done in the first place.
So it's like the substitute teacher who can't take the classroom and he runs to the principal's office and says, get me out of here.
But also, it's kind of like when you have, like, now, like, your students are dysregulated. You cannot have a rational conversation with them.
Yeah.
Like,
okay, I sure titled the session Burnout. Okay. That's why it's so much fun with teachers, because they really, you understand Moshe Rabbeinu.
But you saved, yeah. She will not have a leap from here and just said it a little later.
He
followed
it all.
Yeah, we'll get to the teacher, I mean the Maureen part in a minute. But what do? They go in front of, and they fall on their face. Now, does that mean davening or just...
Give up.
Yeah. That's a great question. There's one time by Korach, he falls on his face and he davens. Amen? But usually Moshe falls on his face and like with... Does it ever happen in Sefer? Does he ever fall on his face earlier?
Yeah.
With the Meraglim. With Korach, yeah. What? And Bamidbar falls on his face a lot.
Right.
And somebody else takes leadership. It can be Pinchas, it can be Yeshua, Kalev, Korach, but it's sort of a pastime in Bamidbar. Maybe the book's up to something. Now, what was the most recent complaint that people had?
Before what?
Before this event.
Before the water?
Before Perchaf, was there? Yeah, there's, if we go back, because Perek Yotet and Perek Yotet are legal sections, right? The previous narrative is the Korach story, right? And after everything did Korach, what did they say? Atem, you killed them, right? Oh, and then we have the whole thing with her. And then God wants to put an end to all this complaining. Remember what God tells Moshe to do?
Take
which staffs? And all the staffs. Put them in the Omoed, right? And see who's going to win. Now, so go to Perek Yud Zayin. Look in Perek Yud Zayin. It's called the Mifchan HaMatot. Okay? And start from, I guess, Pasach Chaf. Who has Pasach Chaf there? Where's the... What? Yeah, read it for me. Pasach Chaf. Oh, I want to put it into the complaints. So the purpose of the Mateh test, right, is to put in for the complaints that they're complaining about Moshe's nepotism, right? It says, I want them to vote for some, that God's behind this. It's not your decision. I've had. Okay, so they do the whole test, and who wins? Which Mateh? Aaron's Mateh wins. Remember? And they take them back. Now, Pasach Chaf. It's on the source sheet. Also, look at Pasach Chaf. Vayomer Hashem Moshe, Hashev et Mateh Aaron lifnei ha'edut. What's that mean? Take Aaron's Mateh that won the test, put it back where?
In front of the Aron.
In the Aron, in the Omoed, right? Mm-hmm. For what? The Mishmeret, for safekeeping. Le'ot Dibnei Mary. That's not teachers there, for sure. Mm-hmm. What are Bnei Mary? The people. Okay? U'tchautu notam me'elai v'lo yimutu. And that'll put an end to the complaints. Now, what good is Aaron's Mateh in the Omoed, where no one can see it, what good is it to solve people's complaining?
Well,
what's implicit? The next time they complain, what should you do?
Show
them that and remind them that what?
Have a Torah.
Yeah, yeah.
Doesn't it, like, after Korach, they take the Torah hands also, and it becomes, they, like, make it into the, it also becomes...
The Tzipui LaMizbeach. That was beforehand. That happened already. pretty sure that happened already. Yeah. Yeah, but in the same event. But we're trying to do, we're trying every educational trick under the book. And for some reason, they don't work. They're still teenagers. There's an attitude problem? No. And I'll be mean for a minute. When none of your educational tricks are working, right? And the kids are still rotten teenagers, right? What do you do?
Quit.
Yeah, you hire a new principal. You make him Rabbi Emeritus. You give him a thing. But now that doesn't mean he wasn't a great person. He could have known Torah, called Torah Kula, Torah Shebichtava. But he doesn't work with these. He's not fit for his generation. That's not a sin. That's just what's called a tragedy. And that's how Chazal understand it, right? The Moshe and Aaron are overqualified for their generation. Now, Moshe falls on his face. Now, based on what God told Moshe Rabbeinu to do, if this is an Oth Ibn Mary, the next time the people complain, what should he do? The next time the people complain, what should Moshe do? Go where? And take out what? And do what with it? And rebuke it them. What's the next time the people complain? And what should Moshe do?
I don't know about that.
Yeah?
Why? The stick has nothing to do with the complaint.
I mean, it's exactly what Hashem told him to do.
No, this is obviously the nepotism, like you said.
No, but I'm saying, but the matin, but God told Moshe, next time you complain, take out the matin and rebuke them. It's an old leaf named Mary.
Hashem says, take the matin. What do you mean?
How do you get it out of the
Oh, go what? You're saying it's Aaron? Wait, Moshe's supposed to take Aaron's matet. That's his matet, right? Yeah. And what matet does he use here?
No.
Whoa. Let's go back, right? Go back to one. Go back here. Now you're going to get some smiles out of you, right? What's Moshe do? Vaykach Moshe et hamateh. Kasher tzivau.
In the
cow. In other words, he did what God told him to do. But what's the problem? God had to tell him to do it.
No,
Kasher Tzibah and Parshat Korach. Not here, no. That's Sforno Chuskudi on the spot.
What?
Sforno Chuskudi. Parshanim say that.
Really?
For sure, it's Matei Aron.
And not
Kasher Tzibah. Kasher and Parshat Korach, yeah. Then it makes sense. Kasher Tzibah. He takes the Matei Bifnei Hashem.
Over here it says
Kachet Ha'am Mateh, with Hey Idea,
yeah.
Which is the Mateh Mifnei Hashem.
And maybe that's
it's the next event in Chumash. But
why is it Mifnei Hashem? What which Mateh is Mifnei Hashem? Aaron's or Moshe's?
Aaron's? There's only one Mateh Mifnei Hashem, and it's an old Mifnei Mary. And what's explained, right, with all respect to the Rambam, why is Moshe say Shimuno Hamorim? It's a child of Mary saying the right thing. Right? What? He didn't do anything wrong. He's Moshe Rabbeinu. Why did he get into something wrong? What I want to claim, I'm not sure if I'm right, but I think it's called a tragedy. What happens? What does God see? What's the consequence of this? What did God tell Moshe and Aaron to do? What they should have done on their own. If every time, I'll go to teaching, if every time the kids in school, give trouble, if the principal sends every time the kid, go to the principal's office. Every 2 days, the teacher sending students to the principal's office, what's the principal going to do? I can't kick the kid out. His mother, he pays full tuition. This kid, he dated his mom 20 years ago. This kid, you know what I'm saying? They're my neighbor. You follow? I can't throw the students out of school. Got it? But I can't keep the class. What do I have to do? They need another teacher. Not because he could be the greatest, biggest Talmid Chacham. He can know Torah Shebichtav and Torah Shebaal Peh by heart. He can make up, you follow? But it's not working, you follow? And what I want to claim is, God's conclusion here, Moshe and Aaron, is basically, it's the straw that breaks the camel's back. Meaning, and it's a theme through Sefer Bamidbar, that leadership, Moshe Aaron's leadership, isn't working. It's tragic. And what's God tell him? Here's another sign that what? Here we go again. You didn't support me. You didn't support me in public to sanctify me. Because what's the overall feeling? Everyone's, they're not getting the people rallied up. If you know summer camp, right? The best madrichim in summer camp are 20-year-olds that's out of their gap year program, full of energy, brainwashed. You understand? the coal, this guy did the army, this guy did this, this guy did, whoa, you follow? Okay? And they can have, what an effect they have on teenagers compared to old teachers from the old, from, it's just so true to education, that's all.
Who
so,
says this?
What?
Who says this pshat in Dan by Amant to Bilar Kishenim?
Who says that pshat? It's on my website.
All right.
Okay. No, it's that sentence. That's not the main, the main point is, actually, I think the someone showed me, the Sfasemis said something very similar. I remember after I taught one of my students, showed me the Sfasemis. What? It's not the classic ones, yeah.
Okay, so
it's okay. Okay, yeah. Okay. No, what I'm getting at is, the main thing I want to show you is where the Rishonim were coming from. You follow? It makes sense. I'm giving a more, I'll talk about the book as a whole. Because Rishonim death in general deal with you know, Pasek by Pasek, Pirushim. And the wider picture things is more of a modern kind of approach. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And sometimes you get sunburned. Mm-hmm. You can't be out in the sun too much, but you can survive. You understand? Some people, it's not the sun isn't bad, but it's too bright. And if you don't have sunglasses, you understand? You're blinded, yeah. Yeah, it's just so true to education, isn't it? Yeah.
Okay, so if this is because it's here that Moshe and Aaron should turn this over.
Moshe and Aaron.
Right, so why...
It's not over... No, it's not... No, I should have qualified. He's still working. He does a great job still. In fact, he's even better now. He can't bring them to Israel.
Go into the land. He may not be leading them. Why can't he just be like, you know, the...
Oh, I read a story about that in Parshat Betchanan. That's exactly Parshat Betchanan. Moshe didn't say, I want to still lead them. He never wanted his job, did he? He didn't want his job, right? Remember, he said, I'd rather... in what book did Moshe say, I'd rather die than lead these people? No, in the Midbar. Remember, with the Mitavim and the Mitonanim? Remember, Moshe says, remember, Lama Uta Lavadecha, Lama Sim Benecha, Simit Masa Zamazai, and Luchia Riti Tamaze, Ken, Kitse Bichekecha, Imkacha Tosili Hargini Naharog. Don't tell me it's not a theme in the book. Come on. It's from cover to cover. Moshe's great, you follow? But there's a lack of compatibility between the teacher and the people. But that's part of Moshe's greatness. So, now, but God's saying to lead these people to Israel is not going to work. You follow? Now, in theory, what's Moshe asked for? I just want to go and see the land. You know, Rabbi Emeritus, got it? Go to his, not that. If Moshe's sitting on the bima, the new rabbi will never work. You follow? It's so sad, but it's so true.
Emeritus.
What? Emeritus is emeritus?
It's a disease.
Oh, emeritus, okay. Very good. I can use that. That's good. I thought I was pronouncing it wrong, but very good. Very good. But if you understand the problem of Rabbi Emeritus, it's right on the mark. So, Yeshua can't become Yeshua if Moshe and Aaron are still around. And you need it's a new generation. Israel is a new head. And Moshe is Moshe Rabbeinu, right? He's the leader of Am Yisrael for all generations. His own generation. There's plenty of times we have great leaders in the generation that people don't appreciate them until, especially the Rambam, of all, remember? They were burning his books. He became his greatness. You know, people became so clear afterwards. I mean, he was great during his time period, but his wide acceptance came later. Now, the other side of the page, which we're not going to get to, but I just want to give you an example of two things. One is, I'm giving you an example of the goal wasn't my vote. That was just a little side thing. But it's just an example of sometimes you give kids more modern things to read and things like that. Where it's coming from. This idea of studying a book as a book. But the main thing I'm going to show you is example of asking engaging questions, getting a conversation started, raising hands, asking questions that keep people engaged, and you see, I'm going to show you that all the parshanim, but what I showed, it's called in a nutshell, objective analysis as opposed to subjective interpretation. What all the parshanim did, right? They studied Chumash. That's called objective analysis. Right? They don't share with you their objective analysis. What do they do? Based on their objective analysis, they share with you their subjective interpretation. Got it? And down the line. Got it? Now, if you really want to appreciate their subjective interpretation, you have to play the game. You have to do that. Now, if you don't do the objective analysis first, you can read Rashi, Ramban, etc. You won't appreciate what they're doing. Because what did they do? Right? They went to this, they did that objective analysis. They studied, went back and forth, and they reached a conclusion. They're only sharing with you their conclusion. But if you want to appreciate Parshanim, understand Parshanim, you got to do the objective analysis. And that's something which is so critical in teaching. I'm speaking of upset. I try to do that with my students. And always they say, they'll just pick up on the wrong thing. You know, how come you said this? And, you know, that I'm trying to, the goal is to understand why Rashi says what he does. And it's not what's bothering Rashi, what's bothering you. When you study the text, you have to study for understanding. You're studying the Dvar Hashem. Try your best to understand. And Chumash is begging multiple interpretation, because that's V'gisa b'yoma v'layla. And multiple interpretations reflect multiple truths. But to appreciate, it's healthy that Ramban and Rashi and everything. And out of great respect, Ramban argues with Rashi. And when you argue with people, it shows you respect them. So I just want to give an example of how to teach a complicated sugya like that, with asking engaging questions. And now, on the flip side,
before we run to the Baal Shamim, let's just be in the text. Maybe even on the expense of the Baal Shamim have to say, because the Baal Shamim, their voices, in a sense, can be in the class. Yeah.
The problem is it takes so long, and I've got to cover the material. It's got to be on the test. It's in the curriculum. Okay. Right. I'm making fun. I'm anti-curriculum in case.
you could stop, and I've done this, be like, okay, very good. There's the Ramban. We're going to call the Moishi from right now, right? So that's great. You know, it's not one of the Mefarshim we're learning, but there's the Sfornoi, and then you can put on the board what you want to keep, and then you're just reviewing what already came up in the class. And you teach.
Yeah, for sure. You have to read it in class. Yeah. You have to manage your time management. Now, even if their Hebrew is bad, once you're engaged in the material, you'll pick up the Hebrew. You'll pick up the thing. But the kids are challenged. In fact, I'd rather send them to read on their own than do it in class together. Now, on the flip side, I just gave an example of how to study a book, which was another, we have 3 minutes. I'll just give something really neat. But studying a book, this is all behind the same approach. But an assignment is like this. Sidra is the best example. Everyone knows Emudamu Muhar. Sounds like some excuse, but it's a gisha. But basically, when you go to Sefer Bamidbar, which was the background of this whole shir, is that there's narrative and there's laws. Now, Bamidbar is unique because the book is primarily narrative. It should be the narrative of Am Yisrael leaving Har Sinai and going to Israel and setting up the nation. Instead, it becomes a story of how we got ready to go, who didn't make it, why we didn't make it, and how the new generation gets ready. That's a summary. But as that goes on, there's interruptions of the book with laws that most of them belong in Vayikra. Now, if you give the students like a class assignment, let's study the book and make it just to outline the book. So what I just told you is very confusing, kids. But if the class builds an outline, maybe you can divide it up between the students, but what's first practice? Take a list of topics and turn it into an outline. And then what's called a threshold assignment. Some kids you have to explain to them, there's narrative and there's law. Sometimes you can say to them, ask the kids, can you differentiate between different topics? You know, then you'd rather them realize on their own, there's narrative sections and law sections. Okay. Then, I call it through centrifuge, if I filter out all the law sections, I'm left with a perfect flow narrative, where the first 10 chapters is the first generation getting ready, why they fail in the middle, and the new generation afterwards, and each one begins with a census and things like that. Okay. And then there's mitzvot the dorot, which are inserted, that you'll see one by one they all belong in Vayikra. So just building this table, don't give the students this page. They have to build it. No, it's whatever they're engaged in, to do. Okay, now, once they do that, then they say, oh, what question comes up? Why is Chumash taking laws that belong in Vayikra and inserting them here? And what's that begging all the Parshanim? It's called Lama Nismacha Parshazu the Parshazu. So why is Misas Miriam next to Paraduma? Paraduma belongs in Tazria Metzora. And why is the Tmidi Musafim with Pinchas, etc.? So that's a whole different skill. I just want to share with you that page. I couldn't decide what skill I wanted to teach. But for engaging questions, it's a better thing. But another engaging assignment is having the kids at some time of the year to know what they're not going to study. It means what's in the book. People should know what's in Sefer Bamidbar, what's in Sefer Vayikra. You're not going to cover the whole book, But you have just a general idea of what the book is and the book structure as a whole. Just to have, and then you can focus in on specific things. Like one thing,
you would give them, like you don't expect them to read through Bamidbar. I mean, we've all read it through. It.
There's your answer. Can I quote you? We don't expect them. I can give you a whole Mr. Shmuz on that. Okay? Because the second we don't expect them, how could they do it?
No, I don't expect them in third and sixth grade to have gone through Bamidbar multiple times. I don't.
It's called Parshat Shavua. They've done it.
They can't read through it.
Because you decide. Tell them they can read. I'm sort of joking. I'm telling you, you can't give up on your students. That's all. You can't say we can't expect them.
It's a good tagline, but anyway.
Yeah.
No, they don't expect them in sixth grade to be able to read through the whole Vayikra to be able to do such an assignment.
Right. This is a high school assignment. I'm sorry. This is for high school. Yeah. No, it's book level is high school. But I'm just using that quote because it happens a lot. I told you, kids love to learn. You have to challenge them. They love learning. It's amazing what they can come up with, right? There's nothing we didn't do that's not harder than 11th grade chemistry, or maybe whatever grade they remember, or calculus or anything. The kids love it. Kids love learning, and you can make chumash challenging and exciting, but you have to know the questions, and you have to raise your expectations from them. I think it's important. I think my time is probably about up, or we have 1 minute, 30 seconds. Okay, any quick questions? Yeah, question, Rabbi. There we go.
I was going to ask, sometimes we do the reverse, you know.
Yeah. By the way, if we're overtime, it's slow tachshom shor b'disho. Because there's food outside. Frequently,
I'll learn a Rashi, and we'll ask them, like, what was about the Rashi?
Yeah.
Try to do it backwards. Mm-hmm. And sometimes it doesn't work that way. Straight to the question.
Yeah. I hold what's bothering you. Now, if you study what's bothering Rashi, you'll get... Don't search for questions, search for understanding. My thing is, don't give an assignment, read this parak and answer 10 questions, because the kids just answer the questions and work backwards. Ask a question that forces a critical read. Outline, summarize, do something, but ask a question that causes a critical read. Don't look for questions, look for understanding. Because when you look for questions, you come up with don't read a text in search of questions. Let the questions find you. Then search for understanding. That's the rule of thumb. That's what Nechama really meant when she said what's bothering Rashi. But people misunderstand.
Not all of her students agree with that.
I know.
That's my 7th grade teacher used to ask what's bothering you, and then whenever we said something, she would say, oh, did you sleep with Rabban under your pillow last night?
Yeah.
Like that's
yeah.
So my question was, exactly that.
I
have a lot of teachers in the department who are so excited about bothering children, and they don't understand. I mean, we don't have to ask them. They don't understand. They're like, coming from where I'm from, which I never remember what's bothering us, right? We've never heard of what's bothering me, what's bothering me, what's bothering me, what's bothering me. So how would you recommend, is there a value to
it? Listen. Rule of thumb. Number one, teachers have to love what they're teaching. The main thing they teach is Avat Torah. And you can't give a teacher, I want you to teach this way or that way.
No.
Now, that's a shikol when you're hiring your teacher.
Right, but you're not teaching in the law. So now I have to teach.
That's what I'm saying. The goal, that goes to curriculum goal. Eshka, thank you. The curriculum goal is basically, it goes back to a whole breath of what's your school's goal? Is it education or indoctrination? And you want them to know this, or do you want them to be motivated to learn?
100%. So, why are you looking at Rashi? And like, I guess the question is answering the first.
Yeah.
I don't know why you're looking at Rashi first, and then come up with a question. The order is necessary.
It's called Masorah. Yeah, that's why it's so boring.
Right. Okay. So basically, you're on my side.
Yeah. But
or rather, I follow your path, and now I'm following the greatest person.
How to follow?
How can it be that he's hiding?
A lot of times. I did a class in Denver this week. So they love this class on how to teach Hashayah. Can you give us a curriculum to teach this? Can you give us a curriculum? I'm going to turn this off.